Hey there, sports fans. Welcome to my podcast. It's Hebsy on Sports. It's episode 312. If you were thinking, oh no, it's episode 313, because last week was, no, there was no last week. There wasn't. But I noticed that people were downloading episode 311, thinking that maybe like it was the new one last week. Like, oh, but no, I was away. But I'm back. I'm Mark Hebscher, your host. The vacation was fabulous. I'll tell you about it in a second. Still, though, I'm agonizing over some of our Toronto teams. Well, all of our Toronto teams, because that's what I do, because I'm a Toronto sports fan. I covered these teams for many years as an MSM journalist, I guess, Mike? Would that be right?
Yeah, you were a mainstream media journalist, yeah. Mainstream,
okay, thanks. I wasn't sure how to categorize myself. So, yeah, you know, the Leafs, the Raptors, the Jays, of course, all those years, you know, the Argos, the Grey Cup champion Argonauts.
Oh, yeah, we did get flack because you didn't reference it last time.
Anybody? Anybody? Sorry. Just not on my radar anymore. The Blue Jays came home empty from the winter meetings. And people, like Blue Jays Twitter, Leafs Twitter, Raptors Twitter, it's all, they're crazy, right? Like, ah! But Brandon Nimmo, though, went to the Mets. So, now what? Wait a second. What's going on? Are they holding tryouts for outfielders, the Blue Jays now? They're going to have a tryout camp because there's nobody left. You know, they traded Teoscar. They non-tendered Tapia. They don't have anybody. Oh, but at least the renovations at the Rogers Center are coming along nicely. Thank you very much. We'll get to the Jays, the Leafs, the Raptors, the World Cup, which resumes today with a couple of quarterfinal fixtures. A new women's soccer league for Canada. Will it work? I don't know. We'll have to find out. Can the Buffalo Bills win without rush end Von Miller? I don't know. We'll have to find out. And we'll see how they do against the Jets on Sunday. The Jets, the team that beat them early, the division rivals. Bills Jets in December. Gotta love it. Carey Price. What an idiot. Brittany Griner is home safe. And would you bench a guy who has 5 goals in an NHL game and could tie the legendary Daryl Sittler and the legendary Red Berenson for a 6th goal, a modern-day record? Would you bench him? Would you just say, we'll give you a couple of shifts? Or would you play him? Don Granato, worst coach in the NHL. I don't care for doing that. If I'm a Sabres fan, I'm pissed. But I'm not. I'm a Leafs fan. We'll get into all the sports stuff in a second. Let's say hi to Toronto Mike. It's been a while. How you doing?
Hebsy man, can't wait to hear about your holiday. We didn't record last week, but now when you talk about, you know, would you bench a guy who could get a 6th goal? I'm thinking about, you used to get on me when I said, if a guy's got a no-no, we don't want to see him pull. Let's see if he gets the no-no. It's kind of similar, no?
No.
No, okay. We'll let you get to it later, but tell us about your vacation, buddy.
Not in the least bit, and I'll tell you why. No hitters have been done many times before. You're talking about 6 goals in an NHL game.
But you're still trying to satisfy the fans, like the fans want to see it.
No, come on, man. You would do it for your teammate. If your teammate had 5 goals in a game, when you go, well, if your teammate had 48 points, are you not feeding him for 50?
Well, they were feeding Marner last night.
I give him 50, right? Everybody wants to 50.
Oh, yeah.
If you had 48 points and the coach said to you, you want to sit because we need to rest you for the next game, or do you want to go out and get 50? And all your teammates are going, come on, man, 50. You're going to go, no, I don't. Come on. Because nobody's ever had 50 in your school in the history or whatever team you play for.
Right.
This is an NHL. This is Daryl Sittler. This is 6 goals in a game. This isn't fucking 5 goals in a game. Grant Mulvey had 5 goals in a game.
Right.
Come on, man. 6 goals. We'll get to it later. You can hear me now. Let's talk about my trip.
All right. Let me hear about your trip, buddy. I heard it was adventurous.
Trip to Pinehurst, North Carolina. I'll be going. We had never been there before. Beautiful, lovely people. Expensive because it's the U.S. It's, I don't know, it was $1.30 for a dollar or $1.32, something like that. It's not cheap and exclusive, but we had a wonderful time. And I won't get into any of the details because the weather was lovely. And whenever I go away, the weather is good. And whenever I go golfing, it never, rarely, if ever, rains, and it didn't this time either. But anyway, so on the way, we're staying in a place. Yeah, Pinehurst is in an area called Southern Pines. And the town, I don't even know what the name of the frickin' town is. The town is, it doesn't matter what the town is called because there's Southern Pines, there's Pinehurst, there's Pine Needles, there's, you know, all that, all the different incarnations of pines in it. Lovely area in an area called Moore County, North Carolina. Moore County. And if you, it's like, I don't know, an hour from Raleigh and 2 hours from Charlotte and an hour and a half from Greensboro, kind of a thing.
Okay.
And like 3 hours from Myrtle Beach, down around there. Lovely area. So anyway, we were there for the week. Fabulous accommodations. Everything was wonderful. And we play golf on the Saturday morning, last Saturday morning. We play the Cradle, which is a little nine-hole course they've got there, which is hysterically fun. All little short shots, 60 yards, 80 yards, 100 yards, lots of fun. Stereo speakers going, blaring music, just a ton of fun. And so we play this in the morning, and we were going to get out of there about 11:30 in the morning and start driving back. It'd take 2 days to drive back. So we leave about 11:30, and it just starts to rain as we're leaving. We just get off the course, and it starts to rain, and it's raining pretty hard as we're kind of running to the car and just leave. Now we're getting out of town. We're heading north. We're leaving. Anyway, so we drive through the beautiful North Carolina, lovely, the mountains of Virginia and West Virginia, gorgeous, stunning, beautiful day. And we drive about 6 hours to, I can't think of the town in West Virginia. I never can think of the name of this town. But it doesn't matter. It's right off the highway. It's nice. So we stop there and we're checking out the news and all that. We see, oh, two Transformers shot up in Moore County, North. Oh, no, it didn't even say that. It just said a power outage in Moore County, North Carolina, home of the famous Pinehurst Resort. And wow. So we find out that like literally 2 hours after we left the area, right? And remember, we're staying, you know, no electricity. What, are you kidding me? We're on vacation. Like right. You can play golf during the day, sure, and not be aware of it, but come on. So as we had left Moore County, some, you know, people that knew what the hell they were doing, obviously shot up these two Transformers, like blew them up, and 45,000 people plunged into darkness, no electricity. Imagine being at a resort.
Hempsey, you missed it by this much.
2 hours, man. So it starts to rain, right? Number one. So if you were golfing that day, you're like, ah. And now you come inside and you find out that there's no electricity.
Right. Wow. Wow.
And we had left. And if I tell you this, folks, and it's the truth, I don't know, I'm blessed with good luck. When it comes to the weather and me going on vacation, my brother's the opposite. He could go to a place that had never seen rain in 3 years and it could be a monsoon the whole week that he was there. Just one of those things.
Right.
Me, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. I rarely, if ever, have gone on vacation where the majority of it was the weather wasn't good. Golfing, when I make a tee time a week in advance or whatever, you know, it's 90% chance of rain the day I make the reservation. And by the time it's 7 days later, the weather's beautiful. It's just the way it is. So we got lucky. So we're good. Oh my God, we just left there. Like we were in the town. Like we were the place where the Transformers were.
Wow, Pinehurst.
Where apparently the story was is there was a drag show that was going on in this southern town. Very, what am I going to say here?
Redneck?
I don't know what the word is. You'd have to experience. It's like kind of a Hallmark museum card. It's very bizarre. Like beautiful people and golf and wealth and Trumpianism. America. But anyway, there was this big protest over this drag show they were doing at a local theater, of which they have the movie Elf. Every Christmas they show the movie Elf at the theater, right? Like, you know, great Christmas movie. But they had done a drag show and there was a big protest over it, and then apparently the original story was that they were so pissed off that they blew up these Transformers and put 45,000 people, plunged them into darkness.
Dude, that's gross. I didn't even know that. That's awful.
So I got back and said, do you want to go back there again? Like, what if we were there and it happened? What if it happened right at the beginning of the vacation? Like, what do you do?
Right.
You got an Airbnb we had for a few days and then we stayed at the resort. What do you do? See that we're leaving. We're
going somewhere
that has electricity.
Right.
Especially when you found out that it could be a while. Not like it's one of those temporary things, a storm knocked out a thing. It could be a while. Okay, you got candles. Maybe someone's got a generator. It's not that cold, but it got cold down there. And the first thing we would have done was we would have canceled, hopefully gotten our money back, some kind of dispute, but said, let's just go somewhere where there's electricity. Can't be far.
I'm glad you missed it, man.
Yeah. So that's close. The story there. So and happy to be back. Happy
well,
be
we're back. Glad
now,
you're back.
Now, the other thing is I'm going to the Raptor game next Wednesday against Sacramento. Taking my son always for his birthday for I don't know how many years. He's 27 now.
Nice.
27? 27? He's going to be 27.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be 27. So I take him to a Raptors game every year. And, you know, we go have a couple of beers and we have a good time. So I'm taking him again Wednesday. So he says to me, and my birthday is January 1st, he says, you want to go see Dave Chappelle for your birthday? And I'm like, yes. Are you kidding? You know how tough those tickets are, expensive those tickets are? But my son's a stand-up comedian. Dave Chappelle's a stand-up comedian. And
okay, because Dave's been... Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, Dave's been in the news lately for some...
Well, of course he is.
Well, he's been anti-trans. He said there's some...
What?
I was wondering what your take was on his SNL monologue, which had some kind of repeated some anti-Semitic tropes.
Yeah, he's a comedian. He's a comedian. Okay. If everybody took Don Rickles seriously when he put down every single ethnic group, all right, he's a comedian. Lenny Bruce, comedian. You don't like some of the politics. You don't like some of the whatever. We're not talking about Michael Richards going out there and going off with the N-word. We're talking about a guy that's been doing this for many, many years. I'm looking forward to seeing Dave Chappelle.
Okay,
he's actually touring with Chris Rock. Can you imagine those two?
Yeah.
How's that for a double feature?
Unbelievable.
Chappelle and Chris Rock. Wow.
You know, you could only make that better if you added Eddie Murphy to that lineup.
Oh, baby. Jesus. I can hardly wait. So I can hardly wait to go see. I've never seen Dave Chappelle live.
Okay, awesome.
I don't know how many people that have seen him perform a stand-up. I mean, his shows are great. But anyway, looking forward to that.
Awesome. Sounds like a good trip. Glad you dodged the blackout. I know you want to talk about Toronto sports, but you did not. Last time we recorded 2 weeks ago, you did not reference the fact that a mere day... Wait. Yeah, the Grey Cup had already happened. Like, you never mentioned the fact that the Argos won the Grey Cup, and I got a couple of notes about it. You just ignored that story completely.
Right.
So I'm calling you out to explain, why would you ignore, you know, our CFL team winning the Grey Cup?
Hang on a second. Just a second here, okay?
All right, Hebsy. While Hebsy goes there, I'll say I did watch the Grey Cup, and I'm happy the Argos won the Grey Cup. Although I had a guy here yesterday who did the audio for the Florida-Georgia line and said that they were doing this auto-tune in real time that put him out of key and was awful, he said. This is Doug McClement telling me this.
Okay, so...
So why just in a nutshell,
so
why...
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Had we, on this show, we ever talked about the CFL? Had I ever
very rarely.
Of a game?
No.
And how many years have we been doing the show for?
A few years, so 4 years.
Can you ever, and I'm going to ask the listeners, have you ever heard me talk about any issue with the CFL or game that I saw or highlights or injury to key players or anything?
No, you don't do that.
Okay.
Okay.
So why would I now do it?
So can I ask one question, then we'll move
why
on?
Why would I do it now?
Did you watch the Grey Cup?
No.
Okay.
Of course not.
Well, that explains it.
I have no interest, Mike. I was the play-by-play announcer for the Toronto Argonauts for 2 years on radio. I was an Argo fan. I've told you the story before, for years growing up. Okay, the league, and not the Argo so much, the league, it just broke my heart, man. It just did. It was 50 years behind the times. There's a bunch of old guys going, yep, no, we can't. No, we can't put the games on TV. Nobody will go to the games. This was in the 70s, Mike.
Right.
And so they lost a whole generation. When the Blue Jays came along, people had other things to do, spend their entertainment dollars. And the Argos bounced from here to there. And then they went to the Dome for a while. And, John Candy and Wayne Gretzky and Bruce McNoll bought the team. And, everyone's very excited now. We're going to go to the games.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, even through the 80s, when I covered them when I was in radio, they put 40,000 people in Exhibition Stadium. It was a big deal. And then it was like all of a sudden, 13,000 fans a game. When I did the games in the mid 90s, 11,000. It was embarrassing. And the league never really did anything because they never had a leader. They never had someone with vision. They're always looking for somebody. You want to do it? Larry Smith. Mark Cohen, do you want to be the commissioner?
John
Torrey. Same with the Argonauts. The Argonauts are supposed to be an anchor franchise in the CFL. Who's the owner this week?
Bell.
How many years?
Larry Tenenbaum?
How many years?
I don't know.
How many years did Mike Pinball Clemens? And still is holding up this franchise because of his name, because of when he played
back in the president
30 years ago.
Right.
Am I right?
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted your take on that because it was noticeably absent from our, but it makes sense. You never talk CFL. So, and I, like I said on Twitter.
And I won't until the time comes where I think it's where I'm interested in the team and the league and the competition and certain players. I go, oh, I remember him. He's been with us for 5 years, hasn't he?
Right.
Like when I grew up, like when I knew who the players were, not mid-season. What happened to this guy? He went to the NFL. He got cut by the NFL. I hate that about the CFL. Right. I hate it. And they just keep recycling the same guys. Zach Collaros has played for every team, hasn't he?
Right.
Mike O'Shea was at Argo, was a Ticat, was a coach the Argo, coach back and forth. I mean, back in the day, man, if you were a Ticat, you never would go and play for the Argonauts, ugh, ever. So that's it.
All right, shout out to Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie, who supports Herschel Walker, no fucking way.
No, you're right. You're right.
Holy fuck.
He's a Trumper
Doug
now.
Doug Flutie, geez, between him and the whatever metabolic stuff. But he introduced Herschel Walker at his concession speech or whatever when he lost. Hey, Doug Flutie.
No, I know. I saw he was doing appearances for
New
Trump.
New Jersey Generals, Trump, Doug Flutie, Herschel Walker. Right. Who else from that New Jersey Generals team is? Okay, look, we're going to get to the Leafs in a couple seconds. First, I want to start with the team that Toronto fans have the highest expectations for, the Blue Jays. Mike, making the playoffs is not enough for this team. We know this. It's like the Leafs, right? They have to win a playoff round before they're taken seriously. Last year, they didn't even win a game in the postseason. A couple years before that, they didn't even win a postseason game. All right? We're 0 for 4, by the way. Our last 4, 5, 6. I think we're 0 for our last 6 playoff games.
Yeah, we have not since Joey Batts was on this team if we won a
game. So what happens? The season's over. The final out is made. Thanks for a great season, everybody. Oh, we made the playoffs. Wish we would have come closer, but gosh, we couldn't beat fucking Seattle at home. Didn't know what to do. I'll leave him in. Take him out. Put him in left field. I don't want to go over that again, but I do know this. And even though I gave him a hard time and he was a decent player with us, When Raymel Tapia was non-tendered, when he was like, okay, thanks, but we're not even going to offer you anything. And then they traded Teoscar Hernandez. I said on the show, I said, well, for sure, they've got, they're going to bring a center fielder in. Once they traded Teoscar, that's George Springer's spot, and now there's going to be a center fielder, right?
Right.
Because last year, who did they have last year? They had Bradley Zimmer, Jackie Bradley Jr. Springer played there for a while. Who else played? Did anyone else play center field for them? I don't know. But they have to get a center fielder. So you're thinking they must. They've got Nimmo in their back pocket, or they got something, or they wouldn't have traded Teoscar and they wouldn't have non-tendered Tapia, right?
Right.
No. They didn't have a plan. They don't have a plan. I don't know what you're going to do now, because Nimmo just signed 8 years, $162 million with the Mets. And if that was the price, were you going to give Brandon Nimmo 8 years, $162? I mean, yeah, they've got deep pockets, but 8 years? Nobody gets 8 years on this team. 8 years. Well, guess what? That's what they're doing now, folks. Aaron Judge signed for 9 years. 9 years. He's 30. Nine.
Wow.
At $40 million a year, $360 million. Okay, that's the big money. We're not going to sign Nimmo for $160 for 8 years. We're not. We didn't have a chance to anyway. I don't know what the Jays offered him, if they even did. So, how did Judge get his deal? He got a ninth year. Okay, Trey Turner just signed for 11 years. Excuse my voice. Folks, you want to be a player. Okay, number one. You don't trade your starting all-star right fielder until you've traded for or acquired an all-star caliber center fielder so you can move your big star out all-star center fielder to right field. Got that. Now, what are you stuck with? Now, you got Kevin Biggio's going to play right field? Whit Merrifield's going to play right field? The fuck? And they got Bo Bichette's your shortstop, I guess, now, unless you're going to go sign Correa or Dansby Swanson and move him to second. So what's with the defense? What's going to happen with the defense on this team? We got catchers. So can we take one of those catchers, Danny Jansen, trade him for a pitcher, an outfielder, a shortstop? It got to be an outfielder. Who are we going to get? Look, the Padres signed Xander Bogaerts. The Mets signed Justin Verlander because they lost Jacob DeGrom to Texas in free agency. Fucking Texas. They're nuts. Jacob DeGrom, he was like the fifth best pitcher on the Mets. They're spent. It's wild what's going on out there. Teams are desperate, but not the Jays. No, we're not going to sign this guy for 8 years, $162 million. Right? These guys don't. And plus, do they really want to come to Canada? Do they really want to come here? I don't know. You know, despite what Alec Manoa says, what a fabulous city Toronto is, and how this team, the Blue Jays, is only represents an entire country. It's a different vibe. Yeah, he's a young guy. He's from South Florida. Where's he been? He's been South Florida and Morgantown, West Virginia. That's it. And Buffalo for a while. Where else has he been? He's a kid. Come on. Canada to him, this is like, oh my God. Whoa, this is beautiful. I love this. But these other guys are, you know, that's not going to be enough. Come to Toronto. It's like, we have the Raptors up here. It's beautiful. It's clean. Your money goes further. Not enough, man. Not enough. We got Don Mattingly. We got Don Mattingly. He's our hitting coach, Donnie Baseball. Hey, man. First thing I heard from these yutz is fucking idiots on Twitter. First, oh, Jays are going to sign Cody Bellinger this weekend. And I'm like, that's a good one. A team going forward is going to sign Cody Bellinger for 1 year. Okay? His agent said so. And these humps are going, well, he got the one right last year. He was the one who said Jackie Bradley Jr., the Jays were going to get him. Sure. He sent out 57 tweets. One of them said Jackie Bradley. He deleted the other 56 tweets. And you're believing these people. You're starting discussions with people that have no knowledge whatsoever. They got lucky a couple times on Twitter.
Right.
Fuck it, unbelievable. Drive me nuts. I hate this shit. We used to go through it every year. Ooh, what are they going to do? I hear this happen. I hear. What did you hear? The San Francisco Giants beat reporters, Susan Slusser, tweeted out the other day, okay? Rumblings among the Giants office getting prepared for Aaron Judge. Fucking thing went wild. Wild. People are going, holy shit. Giants. Now the Padres come in with an offer for $400 million, right? Oh, right. He's from California. He doesn't like it in New York. He's just in New York. What happens? The story's revealed. The fucking owner of the Yankees, Hank Steinbrenner, picks up the phone and like calls him. Says, you want to be a Yankee? Just says, I want to be a Yankee. Says, what's the problem? He says, I need a ninth year. Bing, bang, bam, ninth year, done. He's a Yankee. Well, but wait a second. This reporter, Susan Slusser, the beat reporter for umpteen years in the Bay Area, well-respected, had to put out a tweet, rumblings around the Giants office. And then somebody, of course, photoshopped Aaron Judge in a Giants uniform. And it's a done deal, right? No, no, no. It wasn't a done deal. This is what bothers me the most about it, right? Because think of all the discussions last year at this time that we had. Think of all of that stuff. Ooh, the Jays are going to sign Michael Brantley. Psst, got it from a Jays source. Yes, it's in. No, they didn't sign him. Fucking embarrassing. So why risk this? Why are people risking going on social media? Well, these other humps, what are they risking? They have no reputation. Nobody knows who they are. Consider the source. And even if you do consider the source, in this case, Susan Slusser, okay? Now, did she say confirm? No, but rumblings, everybody's getting excited. I'm sure the entire Giants office had, you know, everyone she spoke to said, yep, looks like we're getting him. Looks like we're getting him. Looks like we're getting him. We heard. Sure. We heard, like, you stuck your ear to the fucking door with a glass and you heard the GM going, okay, deal's done. What is it again? 9 years? $171 million? Come on, man. Folks, if the Jays want to win, they're going to have to offer some long-term deals. That's the way it is. You want the big players, long-term deals. You want to make a trade for a guy and keep him for a year like the Raptors did with Kawhi Leonard? Go ahead. Someone's going to do. Seattle's going to do with Teoscar Hernandez. If fucking Seattle makes the playoffs and does better than the Jays, even with 1 year of Teoscar Hernandez, I'm going to be pissed. Because I think if the Jays would have kept Teoscar Hernandez, okay, they're in much better shape for this coming season. This is the season you're going to win the World Series? One of 2-3 years you've got a window for? Hey, man, so what? So what if you lose Teoscar to free agency? So what? You don't have him anymore. You got no outfielders.
Wow.
The one big move that the Jays made, the big move, they did not offer a contract to Pat Tabler. Oh, you're laughing. Things are changing. Buck Martinez has already said he's not sure. I don't know how many games I can do. I don't know. All right? health issues, man. Man's in his 70s. He's already said so. He's not going to be doing 162 Jays games. You're not going to be flying around all over the place with Dan. So somebody else is going to be in there with Dan to do some games. They're going to, I don't know if it's going to be Caleb Joseph. I don't know if it's going to be Joe Siddle. Although I do like the stuff Joe and Jamie do a lot. Man, they sit for the entire game. I think they're on in the fifth and they're on in the eighth.
Yeah.
And that's it, right? That's like, that's it. And Joe's really good. I like Joe when he was on radio doing, but I just, I think there's going to be some changes up there. We know that Dan's going to do all the games.
So Dan's calling the games. He's going to do all the games. And then Buck hasn't made any announcements about retirement. He hinted
it's not
at
up
it.
To, but it's not up to Buck, I don't think. It's probably up to, it would be Rogers to say, here's our broadcast teams. And that's not going to start till spring training. And by then, they'll probably have it figured out. Is Ben Wagner going to go on the road? He better. Right now, Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph not on the road. Eric Smith and Paul Jones not on the road for the Raptors.
No. Not a lot of outrage, though. I don't think people really care about who whether the radio guys are on the road. But I know you do because you're a diehard. But so do you have a prediction?
No, they should. No, you can't get, you cannot get solid reporting from someone that's taking it on a monitor because out of the realm of the television cameras, stuff goes on that you have to let your audience know about. And you can't do that if you're not there. It's that simple. It is. It's like a horse with blinders. Come on, man. You know, you're seeing what everyone sees what you see, but if you're at the game, you're, well, wait a second, I see coming up the tunnel is this, or fans are reacting a certain way, or, you know, but watching it on a monitor and hearing something and going, what is that? Why are they making that noise? Where's that coming from? Come on, man.
All right. No so good. What's your prediction for opening day? Who's calling the Blue Jay game for Sportsnet? I mean, we know it's Dan, but who's beside Dan Shulman?
Oh, I would think Buck on opening day. I would hope so anyway, but if not, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I just mentioned, I just gave you two names, Caleb Joseph and Joe Siddle. Yeah. Part of the Sportsnet baseball family, right?
Yeah, so there's no additional.
I don't know. I don't know. You tell me, is Hazel going to go up there in the booth?
No. I always Rask thought it was Joe. I thought it would be Joe
Sean
Siddle.
Sean McKenzie going to go up there in the booth? You tell me. They had Cliff Floyd a couple years ago. Who else did they have this year?
I don't think they had a body. Like, I think they'll somebody who's currently on the roster, like a Joe Siddle.
Uh-huh.
Who's very
Mike
good?
Wilner.
It's not going to be Wilner. It's not going to be Mr. Wilner.
All right. It's 21 consecutive games. Is that a big deal in sports? A point streak, a hitting streak, throwing a touchdown in 21 consecutive games, touchdown pass. I don't know. I don't think so. But yeah, it's something to get excited about, especially if your team's winning. And good for Mitch Marner, okay? This guy is steaming hot. But the fact that the Leafs are the best team in the NHL right now,
uh-huh.
Anyone could argue that? Hello?
Nope.
One loss in their last 18 games since that disastrous West Coast road trip. All right. One loss in 18. And by the way, I think they lead the league in overtime losses. Like if they get to overtime, it's like, oh, fuck, the game's over in 30 seconds. Right?
Right.
Regulation, no problem. No problem at all. I think they've lost three games all year in regulation. This team's good. Back-to-back shutouts. Marner on a 21-game point streak, which I don't think is a big deal. But again, I don't know. When you get to 30, when you get to 25.
Well, it's a Maple Leaf record, so we've never.
It's good. It's good. And again, it's to me, it's like, you know, like Vladdy had a 21 or 22-game hitting streak or 23 or 20. I don't even remember the number because it eventually ended. But like people were like, hey, Vladdy got a hit, even though he was only hitting 275 during the hitting streak.
See, I think we were up already. Like, I think we were up 3-0 or something. I can't remember when Marner got his point last night. So it's like, it gives the fans something to get excited about. And then you see the players feeding Marner and you see he's gained lots of touches and you're like, yeah, they're trying to get Marner a point.
Oh, wait a second. Wait, hold it, Mike. You're telling me that the Leaf players actually want Marner to continue with
this streak? Oh, 100%.
So suppose Marner had 5 goals in a game. 5.
Yes.
Before the end of the second period, like 2 minutes or 3 minutes ago of the second.
Yeah.
And the game's in Toronto.
Yeah.
You're telling me that his teammates and the fans are going, let's go for six,
100%.
And you're telling me that Sheldon Keefe's going to go, no, we got to rest you here. We'll give you like a fourth line type shift. You're going to play 12 minutes and 58 seconds, I think was the number. Like, you're going to play 12. Normally you play 18 minutes a game. You're going to play 13 minutes instead.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
We're not going to give you any shifts.
That's bullshit.
What would you say?
I would be pissed
You'd
off
be
as a fan.
You'd be fucking screaming. Right. So you just made my point from before.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Come on, man. Don Granato, if that game, if I'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I'll
get to it. Save that fire, but yeah.
No, I got to save most of it. But anyway, so good. So the Leafs win 5-0 over the Kings. So twice this week, they've blasted, they've blanked, they've goosed the Dallas Stars and the LA Kings. Two pretty good fucking teams. Am I right? They give them nothing.
Yeah.
And who they got on defense? Oh, they got Morgan. No, they don't have him. He's not. He's hurt. Right? They got the other Muzzin. No, he's on. They got every defenseman is hurt. Am I right? They're all hurt.
Yep.
Brody's back now or no?
Nope. Oh, I'm not sure, but I don't think so. He was practicing though.
Sure. Injuries are part of the game.
I'm calling it back. Now, I don't want to be like Hazel May. I got to call that back.
Were we not concerned? Were we not concerned about Matt Murray? Oh my God, Matt Murray. Leafs are depending on Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov? Well, guess what? They both pitched shutouts this week, man. Fantastic. So Leafs defense is in shambles. So what? Injuries, big deal. Sheldon Keefe for the coaching staff. A little juggling here and there. Okay. Oh, Nick Robertson hurt last night early. That's too bad. Poor. I feel bad for the dude early in the game, man. You know, he's getting some ice time and it's just, he can't. He's 21 years old. He's already injury prone. I think it was a shoulder injury last night, out indefinitely. So, you know, you've got kind of a patchwork team, but you're winning games, man. You're winning. And okay, scoreless first period, even though you're just absolutely blitzing them. You're blitzing them, hammering. And then 3 goals in 66 seconds in the second period. Boom. Engvall, Kampf, Nylander. Right? And then Marner extends his point streak to 21. Fabulous effort, too. Falls down the seat of his pants, makes a pass in front to Matthews, who just misses, and then gets the puck back as LA turns it over and just zips one. 4-0. And then they get another one, 5-0. And Bob's your uncle. They win again. Another shutout. Easy.
Confirmed.
Easy peasy.
Confirmed. TJ Brody did play last night.
Okay. Confirmed. Maple Leafs at home for a while. Now they got Calgary tomorrow night and then Anaheim next Tuesday. Now, this team, Mike, what if this team runs off like, I don't know, like 20, what did I say the number was before? What is it? 13-1-4 since the California trip. 13 wins, 1 loss, and 4 overtime losses. That's sick, man. Now, what if they run off a stretch? Like, what if they run off one of these Philadelphia Flyer-type stretches, 35 games in a row without a loss? Although you can't do that now because they had ties back in those days.
Right.
Right? So Hensie, you'd have to win all your overtime games for it to be one of those official. But back then, the Flyers went like, you know, like 26 wins and 9 ties or something like that during this 35-game unbeaten streak.
But Hebsy, man, do they award the Stanley Cup in December and in January?
No, and that's why I'm saying, I always say this, I said, man, save this for the spring. Save this for the spring, okay? Have the team, you know, in March, have them, oh, I don't know what's the matter with this team. And then just as the playoffs are beginning, you know, a couple of shutouts, right? Like, boom, boom, and now you're going, that's what I want. I don't want somebody like saying, oh, bad. Remember the Leafs back in early December? Man, were they good.
It's the style of play. Good? The style of
Remember
play.
Remember them before Christmas? Remember how right. good they were before Christmas? Sure. Going into Christmas, sure. How great they were?
Right. You know, it's the style of play that changes in the playoffs, and then it's a different Leafs team.
I know. I get it. So, yeah. So, listen. So, the question comes down to this. The other night, Tage Thompson of the Buffalo Sabres scored four goals in the first period. He gets his 5th goal with an assist, by the way, at 16-minute mark of the second period. Now, this game's in Columbus, and by the end of the second period, the Sabres are leading 9-2. 9-2. So you're in the dressing room, let's say, between periods, and you're going, dude, Tage has got 5 goals. The NHL modern-day record is 6. The all-time record is 7 by Joe Malone of the Quebec Bulldogs in 1920. But for all intents and purposes, let's say post-expansion. So after the 6-team NHL, let's just say that's 50 years ago, right? Okay. Since 1960, since the NHL expanded to 12 teams and now it's, you know, what, 30. You know, who's got the record? Well, it's like Red Berenson with 6 and Daryl Sittler had 6 goals and 4 assists one night. So I looked at that. And I remember because I wasn't at that game, but I watched it on TV. And I remember Sittler only had 3 goals at the end of the second period. Wow. He only had 3 goals.
Wow.
Okay. And the Leafs were only up 8-4.
Right.
That's it. He scored all three goals in the third period to give himself six goals, and the Leafs won 11-4 instead of 8-4, right? They double-shifted him. They double-shifted him, okay? Because it was like, Daryl, you got three, right? Let's see if we can get you four. And he gets the fourth goal early in the third period in a power play. He's got four now with 19 minutes to go in the game. You don't think they were fucking feeding him all goddamn night long, okay? All night long. He's double shifting. He's all over the place. They're trying. Everyone in the gardens knows.
Yep.
Come on. Let's go. It was fabulous. So if this game would have been in Buffalo and Tage Thompson has five goals after two periods and he averages 18 minutes a night, averages, even on nights when he's not, doesn't have five goals. He averages 18 minutes a night, 18 minutes and 31 seconds. But in this game, he only gets played for 13 minutes. And hardly, couldn't figure his time, how often he was out there in the third period. But trust me, if he was at 13 minutes, okay, he must have been at 11 minutes minimum after two periods. He couldn't have played more than a couple of minutes in the third period. You don't go from playing 18 minutes and 30 seconds a night to 13 minutes when you've got five goals in a game. Had the game been in Buffalo, I'm sure other Sabres fans would have been screaming at the coach. We want Tage. He's got five goals.
So bizarre.
I didn't get it. And I couldn't read anything. I'm reading the newspaper reports, the Buffalo Evening News or whatever. And like, no one's saying this. I'm going, I don't get it. You got five goals, man. At the end, it's a regular season game. Come on. The record is six. Let's go. Anything, right? Everyone's got to know.
And there's no chance he tweaked something or maybe felt
no, okay. Nothing. He didn't hurt himself.
So I will say if this game was in Buffalo, I don't think the coach could make that decision. I think it would be so unpopular.
I agree, but the game was in Columbus, and I don't know. He's like, well, we've got to rest. Dude, he's got five goals.
Yeah.
Are you telling me the players would go, coach, please put him out there. Coach, we'll set him up. Coach, we're up. They were up 9-2. Even if they try to set him up and they fuck it up and Columbus gets three goals.
Is this coach good friends with Daryl Sittler?
It's 9-5. This coach is good friends with Tage Thompson. This is Ray Ferraro's brother-in-law. This is Don Granato.
Right. Okay. I just wondered. Like, I think right now Daryl Sittler would be sending like a bottle of champagne to this coach, like protecting his record.
Mike Zeisberger even interviewed Daryl Sittler about scoring six goals in a game. I would have been outraged. I would have said, you got to double shift this guy. You got to put him out there. He's got 23 minutes of playing time to get one more goal to tie the record. Two more to set the record.
Also, Kevin brings up a good point, which how many casual, like non-Sabres fanatics are tuning into that third period to see history made? And he's not even on the ice.
I know. I would have shit myself. Man. I would be screaming, yelling at the coach. You've got to put him out there. You've got to. He's got five goals. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Once in a lifetime. Okay, yeah. One of those days where the stars align and the puck is on your stick and you've got it going, man. You may never have a day like this. Ask a golfer who has a birdie run going. You got a chance to shoot 59.
Ride the wave.
59. And now your caddy goes, no, let's play it safe. You play it safe.
Bad.
You got a seven-shot lead. Let's just play it safe. No! Pedal to the metal. You're going for the course record. You're going to shoot 59. Yeah,
it's not like the playoffs start next week.
Exactly, but this is exactly what it is. Right? Exactly. This is the second round of a tournament. Right? This isn't the final round. You got a nice lead. You got a chance to shoot 59. No. No, let's back off. That's exactly what this is. Five goals in the second period. Doesn't put him out there for the third. Fucking idiot.
And he's a well-liked player, right? Like his teammates like this guy. It's like they would want him.
I'm telling you right now, you got a chance. What's the record for points in a game in the NBA? 100.
Yeah, it's 100.
You got 97 points. You got 98 points. 98. Okay? You got 98 points. There's 3 minutes to go in the game, and the coach says, come on, you're coming up.
Yeah, I'm getting angry, Hebsy.
Everyone
you're upsetting
is
me.
Going, no, the record's 100. No, put him out there. No, got to rest him up. Right?
Or you forget 100.
You got 75 points after three quarters. The coach rests you in the fourth.
I don't even like it if a Raptors got 47, 48 points. I want to see them get 50. Like, you know what I mean?
Jeez. Speaking of the Raptors, they're hanging in their seventh place in the East. They're playing okay considering, you know, they've had some serious injuries now. They get the miserable Orlando Magic tonight at the Scotiabank Arena. Miserable, I don't know if that's the mood of the team. That's their record, though. 6 up and 20 down. Now, when you're early in the season and you're 6 and 20, you got no hope. You're looking to make trades or something, but they can't be an upbeat team. They can't be looking forward to coming through Pearson International, gotta go through customs. And we gotta take the Raptors on. We're playing like shit. So this should be a win for the Raptors, who are still missing Precious Achiuwa and Otto Porter. But Nick Nurse is happy to have Siakam and OG and Fred and Trent and Boucher and you know, Coloco and all these guys. Scotty Barnes. By the way, Scotty the other night was a monster against the Lakers. 13 points, 17 rebounds, and 4 dimes. I love this guy. Lakers did not have LeBron, didn't have Anthony Davis, which was good for us because we got the win. They're in Orlando. They got their return game Sunday in Disneyland, Disney World. And then they come home to face the Sacramento Kings next Wednesday, a game that I will be attending with my son.
Awesome. I know you're, before you say that word, you know, I was thinking, okay, when does Hebsy get to the World Cup, which is, you know, the biggest sporting event in the world right now? 41 minutes deep. Now we're talking World Cup.
Okay.
That's so how much World is going Cup, on.
Yeah. So they haven't played since, when was the last game? Tuesday?
Yeah. We got 2 days off, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got the quarterfinals today, starting soon, as a matter of fact. You got Croatia against Brazil at 10 this morning. I'll tell you right now, if Croatia wins that match, that would be massive upset. Massive. The way Brazil's playing, massive upset. And then this afternoon at 2 o'clock, it's the Netherlands and Argentina. Lionel Messi and the boys. Tomorrow, we got Morocco playing Portugal at 10 o'clock. Wow. And then the big one, England, France at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
What are your predictions, Hebsy?
My predictions are Argentina against the Netherlands, Brazil against Croatia, and then Portugal should beat Morocco. I'm going to have to go with France.
Oh, I'm surprised. You're such a big fan.
France has got Hurricane. Mbappe. France has got Mbappe. He's an awesome player. Yeah. France are the defending champions. Olivier Giroud is a wonderful player who seems to rise to the occasion in, you know, matches like this. I do like England. I'm concerned a bit about England's back line, and I'm not a big fan of Jordan Pickford, the goalkeeper. I do love Harry Kane, of course.
Of course. Tottenham Spurs. I'm keeping notes. Hey,
I don't know.
What's your take? Because we haven't talked since Canada. We went 0-3 like we did in 86, but at least we got a goal this time. But what is your take on Canada's efforts in Qatar?
Oh, well, their efforts, I'm sure, were 100%. I'm sure they tried their best.
Just outclassed?
Well, quite obviously. They were.
But we
celebrate the Alphonso Davies and the Jonathan Davids and whatever, and these are players who perform at a high level in Europe. But that's only two guys. Well, that's two guys. Davies is the outlier. He's remarkable. Jonathan David is a very good player in Ligue 1 in France.
Right.
And the French professional league is not nearly as competitive as the English Premier League. And quite frankly, not nearly as competitive as Serie A in Italy. And quite frankly, not as competitive as the Bundesliga in Germany. And quite frankly, not as competitive as La Liga in Spain. And quite frankly, about as competitive as the Portuguese league, which is very good, you know, Benfica, wow. Porto. And to be a good player in a not as good a league, Jonathan David, I would say, and I'm not picking on him specifically, but what I'm saying is that if you look at the class of player that these other nations have,
right,
they have world-class players who've been playing on world-class teams and, more importantly, have been playing together within a system for many years, since they were juniors.
Right.
And for what we did this year in CONCACAF was remarkable, tremendous.
Right.
We beat some very good teams. But you have to understand, too, Mexico got bounced. The United States has been bounced.
Yep.
These, as good as these teams were for competition for us, they're nowhere near as good and elite as the teams that Canada lost to.
Right.
Morocco's the best example. We're going, oh, Morocco, you kidding me? Morocco's got fucking some fucking good players.
Right.
You take a look at some players on that squad, they're world-class players. And they have a world-class team. And their coach is extremely well-known, right? They put a lot of effort into that, and they won the goddamn group.
Yeah, well, in high, like, what a
Belgium
group.
Belgium got beat up. Here's the way you should think about it.
Yeah.
We didn't get in. We're disappointed. Imagine beating Belgium.
Right, right. Absolutely. So that Belgium game, though, just to go back to that first match, where I thought Canada put in great effort, but what is your thoughts on Alphonso Davies getting that penalty kick early against Belgium?
Well, let me put it this way to you. Alphonso Davies was not the only world-class player to miss a penalty so far in the World Cup. Okay? The best players in the world are missing penalties, okay?
Sure.
So do we know for a fact that Jonathan David would have scored?
No, of course not.
Absolutely not. And Jonathan David was not in good form. As you saw in that match, in that game, he had several great chances to score.
Right.
And didn't.
No.
Couldn't finish. And, you know, the stats, they were saying, oh, he scored 9 out of 12 in the French League. I disputed that. I think a few others did. I'm not exactly sure who. But the point of the matter is you can go back. You can't go back on that and say, well, had he scored, because we know for a fact that that's not the case. Had he scored, Canada still wouldn't have gotten in. Right?
Right.
Still wouldn't have gotten in.
Right.
It would have had 3 points, wouldn't have gotten us in.
And right? Now, a quick dumb question.
They would have beaten Belgium. Belgium would have crashed out, and the same thing would have happened. Croatia and Morocco would have gotten through. So, there you go.
Hebsy, last question from this dumb guy who does love his World Cup, but is just learning on the fly. Because Canada is hosting, at least one of the three countries hosting
That's
next
right.
time, is that an automatic bye? Like, are we?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So.
Canada, Mexico, and the United States get automatic buys.
Wow.
Now, I'm not sure how that works through the rest of CONCACAF.
Yeah, because that is CONCACAF.
Those three CONCACAF spots are automatic, and then the other CONCACAF teams go for however many other spots. All I know is they're in, they don't have to qualify.
And Brian brings up a good point that it turns out we were in the real group of death because Croatia and Morocco are still alive quarterfinals.
Yeah, and Belgium.
I know, which was ranked number 2, I think.
2 in the world.
Wow, okay.
2 in the world, the Belgians. Now imagine, again, I had said from the very beginning, Mike, and I don't know if you recall this, I said, but the Belgian back line is slow.
Okay.
The Belgian back line was slow. And this is where Canada should have and didn't, you know, eventually should have been able to take advantage with their speed. Because you're talking about Vertonghen, right? He's an old man. You're talking about Den Docker and Toby Alderweireld. So these are three old, slow guys that you could take advantage of. And obviously other teams did. Morocco kicked the snot out of them, made them pay, and Croatia as well. So, yeah. So the Belgians are the ones who are like, oh, what happened? We're number 2 in the world and can't even get through the group stage. So, hey, we got a goal.
We got a goal. Yeah.
We're competitive. We made some gaffes. We made some mistakes. We made some errors. The Borjan mistake, the goalie was and kind of a microcosm of what happens. But the fact that we played well in CONCACAF and we're qualified for the next one automatically, it's good. It's good. It's good. Let me get to this. WNBA star Brittany Griner returned home yesterday after being detained in Russia for nearly a year as the U.S. government negotiated a trade to get her out of a 9-year prison sentence for having hash oil on her. Man, and that's like, man, you got hash oil in Russia. Like, come on. So, phew, got her out of there. And really great job by the WNBA, by everyone involved. Really from the commissioner, why can't I think of her last name? Damn. Everyone, players advocating for Griner, helping to bring her home, putting pressure on the State Department and the government. Good. Also, very exciting news that Canada will have a women's professional soccer league slated to begin in 2025, led by Diana Matheson and Christine Sinclair. This is huge. Mike, you've got 2 daughters, so this must be tremendous news for them, especially your young one.
Yeah, she's a little young to appreciate it all, but absolutely, this is great news.
To appreciate what? The fact that she could be playing professional soccer?
Yeah, like
in
she's
Canada.
She's only 6. Let's and perhaps cut her go some to the slack.
Olympics. Yeah. Well, only 6, Mike. Kind of. Think about the next Olympics. Okay, Olympics are every 4 years. She's 6. Think about this.
Right.
16 years from now, she's going to be a star player for the Canadian team.
Oh, I hope so, because she's fast out there, Hebsy. She's fast.
There you go. All right, you got to start it early. So this is huge. She could play professionally in this country, represent our country at Olympics and international competition.
Love it. Love it.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that. The Buffalo Bills will be without all-pro rush end Von Miller. I always want to say Van Miller, the former sportscaster. I love Van Miller.
Right.
You know, when Chuck Healy, the quarterback, played up here, I kept thinking of Chuck Healy, who was also an old sportscaster from Channel 4 in Buffalo back in the day. Chuck Healy and Van Miller. Anyway, Von Miller is out for the rest of the season. Knee surgery required. And they're going to host the New York Jets this Sunday. At Highmark Stadium. We drove by Highmark Stadium on our way back from North Carolina. Had we gone the week before, 2 weeks earlier, there was that snowstorm that where they had to cancel the game or postpone or sorry, change the location to Detroit.
Right.
So as we're driving by the following week, we're thinking, you know, a week ago, this road was closed. The New York State Thruway was closed. We would not have been able to get to our destination. This week, the weather looks like it's going to be beautiful. And the Jets in Buffalo, as the Bills are 9-3 and currently the top seed in the AFC, which means they get a first round bye. Okay. And home field advantage throughout the playoffs. This is huge. They've got to beat the Jets. Revenge game.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Last night, Mike, the much maligned Baker Mayfield spit out and chewed up and released by every team in the NFL, it seems, including Charlotte last week. He ended up with the LA Rams. And the Rams, their quarterback, Matthew Stafford, was injured. The LA Rams had to go with Baker Mayfield yesterday. And what does he do? Throws the winning touchdown pass with just seconds to go to lead the Rams over the Raiders 17-16. Baker Mayfield. Good story.
Now, Hebsy, before we wrap up here, I need your take on the Canadian Athlete of the Year. Because we were, you know, talking a couple of weeks ago about who it might be. It's Marie-Philippe Poulin. What do you say?
According to who?
I don't know. Is that the renamed Toronto, the formerly known as You Know What from the Toronto Star? The Northern Star Award, I guess, is what they call it.
I'm sorry, Mike. The Athlete of the Year is the one given out by the Canadian press every year. It's the Male Athlete of the Year is the Lionel Conacher Award. And the Female Athlete of the Year is the Bobby Rosenfeld Award.
Okay.
So those are the official
different one.
Awards.
This is the Northern Star Award.
Not some fucking newspaper award.
Okay. My apologies, Hebsy Man.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sort of half kidding. Yeah, that's the new name for the Fuck Award, right? The fucking Bigot Award, excuse me, that the Toronto Star gave out starting in 1936. And for some reason, I guess, took on some iconic status as, ooh, you're the award. No. Bullshit. It's the Canadian Press Award. It's been given out for years, 50-odd years. More. What am I saying?
So that one's coming soon.
70 years.
Okay.
Lionel Conacher Award. Okay. Named after Lionel Conacher, who was the athlete of the half century from 1900 to 1950.
Right.
And the Bobby Rosenfeld Award, named after the multi gold medal award winner in athletics from the 1928 Olympic game.
Oh, you saw that one live. You saw that live, right? The 28 Olympics.
Yeah, I was there. I covered it. Yeah. Finally, Mike, Carey Price may go down in history as one of the better goaltenders in the National Hockey League, but he's a dum-dum. Price says he was aware. He was aware of the 1989 Polytechnique shooting in Montreal and the annual commemoration of that date, December 6th, contrary to a statement provided by the Montreal Canadiens organization the previous day. You heard about this clusterfuck, eh, Mike?
Yep, I did.
Okay, here's the Habs. They're trying to protect them.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Fucking morons. Quote, this is from Price. Uh-huh. My heart and prayers are with the families and victims of the 1989 École Polytechnique shooting today. He wrote on his Instagram, this was Tuesday, on the anniversary of the shooting. The Habs had said that Price was, quote, unaware of the incident, which had people going nuts. I read that, I went, what? No way could Carey Price play 14 years in Montreal, is that it, and not know every December 6th, not know living there about this? Come on. We all said the same thing. First of all, what a fucking moron, and two, how could he not know? I couldn't believe that, right? And then the next day, he's like, oh, I knew. And so I'm thinking, if he knew, and he knew that the date was sensitive, and he knew that the special code to buy this these guns was Polly, P-O-L-Y, and he was aware of this, and the statement and the picture of him in full fucking hunting gear with the rifle comes out 3 days before this date, this sensitive time. I mean, is this guy like a complete ignoramus, Mike?
Well, yes, he's absolutely tone deaf. I mean, unless he forgot the date was coming up or something, but there's
no, and the people he's working with, and it's all this. So this is what I'm thinking. you know, Carey Price went from being, you know, like a religious figure in the province of Quebec. Okay.
Yeah, Jesus Price.
Okay. A religious figure, never won a Stanley Cup, never made it to the Stanley Cup final, did win a gold medal for Canada as our great country's great goaltender and all that.
Right.
And then revealed that it had, you know, some serious problems, right? Substance abuse problems, you know, where he had to leave.
Right.
He had to go get help. And then welcome back with tearful eyes, fans, when he came back and, you know, was introduced, not in his goaltender's garb, but in street clothes and civilian clothes. He's now Carey Price, ex-goaltender. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ex-Habs goalie, you know, icon. So he comes back. He's a flawed man now because he had this problem and he's gone for help and, you know, people feel for him, right? And now, how much are people feeling for Carey Price? Right? You know, you spend this time idolizing a player, loving a player, feeling bad, terrible for a player, the problems that he has, you know, viscerally feeling for Carey Price, right? Especially those who have substance abuse problems, alcohol problems, you know, whatever problems he's gone through.
Absolutely.
That needed rehabilitation, right? That needed him to step away. And you're feeling for this man, and then this. And it's like, fucking, wait a second. This is what I had feelings for Carey Price, and now here he is in his fucking hunting garb, looks like fucking Elmer Fudd, on a couple days before the... Terrible.
That, I will say, this using the promo code Pauly, is that not like one of the most offensive, and there's a lot of offensive stuff flying around these days, but I said the word gross earlier. I can't remember why, but oh my goodness. Can you imagine?
To me, Carey Price was the guy who I always thought would never be on social media, was the type of guy who was just very measured, very guarded, and would never end up going on social media to post anything, right? Because he just didn't seem to me to be that kind of guy, very private. And then when he does post something, it's not like a picture of his kid's birthday party or something, like whatever.
Right.
It's him, like, you know, saying,
him,
hey,
and his,
like,
guns.
You know, I'm a hunter and these guns are...
Disappointing.
Disappointing. Okay, that's it. It's good. Good way to wrap up the show. Fucking Carey Price. I'd like to know from Montreal Canadiens fans how you feel about this guy. Is he still Jesus Price to you? I'd like to know. That's it for episode 312 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike. And thanks to you for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. Tell your friends, write a review, sponsor the show. Listen, it's like a $100 an episode. If you're interested, let me know. Because I got to buy firewood, man. I got to stay warm this winter. Send me a wink, share whatever it takes to get people to listen to this podcast. I appreciate it. You know that. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. We're back with another episode next week. Let's hope that, oh God, let's just hope that the Blue Jays have found a freaking center fielder by then. Could they get Teoscar Hernandez back? That's what I want to know. Anyway, until then, so long for now.